This is Colourful Radio.
And we have the pleasure of introducing to you, colourful people, one of UK reggae's exponents of reggae music, Mr. Honey Vice himself, the legendary Mr. Pete Huntingale. Woo! big up, sir, big up. Thank you for passing through.
Yes. Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. My fade is up. All right,
there you go. There you are, there you are.
I do apologize, sir.
Yeah, man.
You're live and direct.
I'll put it down to the gig today, Monday, here, Colourful Radio. Everybody, as Juju said, is under liquor pressure. Trust. As I got through the door, a glass of red wine was thrust in my hand. So it's all good. I'm up in the merriment. Good afternoon, one and all. Good afternoon, Colourful Radio. It's a pleasure to be here.
Indeed, sir. Yeah. Thank you for passing through on this day of days when Colourful Radio embarks on its radio broadcasting digitally.
Yeah.
It's a good look, sir. So how are you doing anyway, man?
Trying to be well, keeping abreast of things, and music's good and everything else, but like everyone I'm sure would agree, it's still an upward climb, upward effort. So it's
so
good to see Colourful Radio in the place, another output which we need to the music.
Indeed.
Most definitely, and this is in a different area, digital radio, so it's all good, you know what I mean?
Cool.
Fantastic. Well, Peter Huntingale, I need to ask you this question. As long as I can remember, and I don't want to put age on you, but as long as I can remember, you've been around. So tell us how long you've been in the industry now. How many years are we talking?
The best part of 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I'm not that old, if you see what I mean. 22 next
you
birthday.
You started young.
22 next birthday. No, it's just, I started young.
Mm-hmm.
Started very young. For as long as I can remember, I've always loved music. And when I was a young man coming through, we didn't have reggae music. I mean, you had blue beats, you had the music of the day here in the UK, which is pop music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Early forms of R&B, which was a Stax label and stuff like that, Aretha. You know, we had our childhood stars, you know, from R&B, obviously the Jackson 5, straight through to people like, you know, Desmond Dekker and people of the day, you know, Jimmy Cliff coming right through there, you know. So,
What was your initial break? I mean, how did it come to you? I mean, like you mentioned your influences there and what actually made you think, well, you know what, let me do this thing here now.
Like I say, you know, Keith, I've always loved music. I predominantly, really, as a youngster, you know, I mean, I thought of myself as being in music, it was always as a musician. So my principal instrument is a guitar, rhythm guitar.
Right.
And this is what I started out playing.
Okay.
So I'd be doing that with, say, like people, like some of the legends, like the Pioneers, Chosen Few and stuff.
Oh, really? Really? Well, you performed with them?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, through the guitar, you pick up other instruments, and I play bass on certain tracks and certain sessions, rhythm guitar on other sessions.
Right.
But it weren't really until sort of like my mid-teens, like, you know, 15, 16, around them ages, when I really sort of like found the love for singing, vocaling. And my inspiration was the Mighty Diamonds at the time.
Okay.
And from there, it kind of like spurred me on, you know what I mean? Like I say, inspired me to say, well, look, you know, the vocal talents are there, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Try and do something with it. And I love vocaling and plus the harmony thing. So
course,
if you listen to a lot of Pete Huntingale music today, it's abundant with harmony.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's why they call you Mr. Honey Voice.
I believe so,
from 1909.
It's good. It's good, you know?
That's good. So,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say now, you've been in the business, as we said, like 30 years now. I mean, what changes have you seen in, like, the reggae, UK reggae music industry?
Right.
Change for the good, change for the better right now in 2009?
That's a really good question, Keith. I mean, at the beginning...
Colourful Radio makes me so happy.
The music. Not to say it was bad back then, because we had some great musicians playing the music.
Mm.
But I think the consistency, the regular rhythm, the sound that people love to hear from reggae, we've developed it more.
Right.
And so we've input our own quality there. We've realised recording how things should sound and whatever, and getting it there. So that's been quite a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite competitive with the rest of the world in terms of reggae music. Jamaican,
right.
American, and everything else.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's universal
so,
now.
Yeah, we've done
global.
Well. We've done well. On the business end of it, we have seen a demise. Simply because, you know, I mean, I think the industrial side of it changes. It modulates, you know,
right,
and with the onset of computer you know, and stuff like that. It's taking the music onto a different level altogether.
The internet and everything, internet. Yeah.
And okay. I would say it's much harder now to establish your name, to establish anything as how it is right now if you're a musician.
Right, right. Even with the advent of the internet and
it's,
such?
I don't think it's a good thing for music.
Really? Why do you say that?
Because I think it's a computer company taking over the music industry.
Right.
And I think what they're doing, whereas we used to sell records, because, you know, these bits and pieces of plastic we used to sell, 7-inch records,
yeah,
was like a token of how well you are doing in the marketplace. You can do pre-sales,
right.
And all these bits and pieces. You can't do it anymore on the internet.
Right.
You're not
right.
sure where your music's going.
Mm.
And obviously, as we all know, it's opened the doors to piracy,
mm-hmm.
which we can near not stop at all.
I mean, this mm-hmm. brings me on to my next question, Peter. I was going to say, in terms of UK reggae artists, we know that there's the talent out there,
yeah.
and we certainly have heard it from you over the years, but in terms of making money, can that be done today?
Great question, Juju. In all truth, no. Mm, and I think if anyone tries to say, no, that's not true, I'll say explain all the record companies that's closing. Explain
yes.
the distribution companies that have closed,
mm-hmm.
the record shops that have closed down,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the amount of revenue that's just gone everywhere else apart from back into the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. And you can ask some of these young people trying to get into the game right now. It's very difficult for them to get there. You know, I was really fortunate. I made my name in a time when we had records.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do the pre-sales things. We can look mm-hmm. in the Black Echo chart, see where your song's coming
yeah.
up. And, you know, there was enough revenue coming back into the industry to propagate more release, you know.
I'll tell you something that I think about often. When I was growing up now, to get the records, to get the black music, let's put it like that, we had to go to the black record shop.
Mm.
We had to go to the small man on the high street and the specialist shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's lots of funny stories that we all know about going to the specialist shop, especially as a girl in your teens. You know, you might have been something you feared, having to go down there shyly ask for the record. But you did it because you wanted that music. And then things changed and all of a sudden Al Price suddenly had your records in it. Or Al Price kind of died before that, but HMV suddenly,
that's right.
you know, you could buy reggae there and you could buy R&B there because
mm-hmm.
they were in the charts and making waves. But what happens now? I mean, do UK reggae artists bring out their music on vinyl at all? Is vinyl totally dead? Or do we just get the compilations now if we want UK reggae music? Because I just you just don't see it pushed in the way that the R&B, say, R&B has become the pop music of today. But reggae seems to have kind of just...
I think that's another great area, you know, and I'm glad you've taken up on it. If you want to buy new music today, just find your local pirate on the street corner because he'll have it.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is.
And that's the problem for the artist.
That's right, shame. Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
That's where it's gone to.
Mm.
And again, I think computer capability has allowed this to happen.
Right.
You know, I'm not all for a computer company, you know, taking over the music industry. You know, it just can't happen, you know what I mean? And you know, it's happened, well, you know, it's look what the output is.
Well, boy,
it's a crying shame.
And
like Juju said, you know, many sisters,
mm-hmm.
You know, much like some brothers, always felt it a sort of a daunting task going into record shop, sticking your hand up and saying,
for real.
Yeah, give me that tune.
Totally.
Or even worse, if you didn't know the title of
That's
it, and then you was really in trouble.
And then they wanted you to sing, can you do a little bit for me there? And it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, man. Big and ugly as I am, man. Sometimes I felt a way of getting into a record shop and asking for a tune.
Absolutely.
They made you feel so small.
Yeah. I think it was a really sort of like bad sort of culture to endorse, you know, especially, you know, on a customer basis, people
mm-hmm.
come into the store, you know what I mean? And it hasn't done a lot for you know, people feeling safe getting into those environments. But
yeah, man.
I think the attitude got a bit better,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What, in the record shops, have they?
Yeah,
well, a little bit, you know. The man then crack a smile now, isn't it?
They do.
I must admit, I used to work in record shops, and I remember one time they referred to me as the cheerful one in there, like basically.
Yeah, everybody come to you. Everybody will come to you because they know you're the brat to deal with. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Absolutely. We're on Colourful Radio. It's Keith Lawrence and Juju talking to Mr. Peter Huntingale here and joining us here on the launch of DAB. And Peter, as we established now, basically the bottom's kind of fallen out in the reggae industry.
Yeah.
You you as an artist now would have to sort of make your money through live performances, right?
Yeah.
And that's going on well?
Yeah, give thanks to the Almighty. Yeah, my schedule's quite busy for that. So live performances, yeah, always. We also do spin-offs in ways of specials, where we do special records for sound systems.
Oh, you mean the dub plates?
The dub plates right. And stuff
you can
like
get
that.
Down and dirty with me. We know where you're talking. I've got special.
I'm trying to keep it PC right there.
Peter, don't be fooled. Just because he said he was the nice one in the record shop, you can still speak to him directly, yeah?
He's still downtown.
we do the speaky-spoky, but, you know, we can do the twingy-twang as well.
But yeah, what it is, we make it through merchandise,
right,
and dub plates and or specials,
mm-hmm,
and live performances.
Okay.
So yeah, I give thanks to the Almighty. You know, I mean, the concerns are still there, and I give thanks that I made my name in the time when it meant something in the music industry, and it's just continued for me. So
absolutely, that's great. Yeah, because I said, you've always been doing your thing for a very long time, and one of the unsung heroes in the UK, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
most definitely.
What do you feel about that? I mean, like, not getting the dues that you're supposed to get.
Right.
It must be frustrating still.
It is. Many people who listen, many fans in reggae music today will assume that, you know, that if you go and you make a couple of records, you become instantly rich, you have your mansions, your butlers and everything, because that happens. People do think that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the reality of it, and it's still very much a 9-to-5 job, you know, in terms of, and I always help my people to understand this, you know what I mean? No, reggae music generally for the UK music scene hasn't broke. Mm. It hasn't broke because simply you couldn't get the record companies to invest in you, you know, to take you to the next level. We can always make the records, we can manufacture them, we can do our own labels and put them out, but you need what you call a machinery behind you.
Yeah, true.
And the machinery comprises of PR, you know, all different areas, you know, manufacturing, obviously, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know, you need money and everything to, you know, to get you not just in London, but we need to get you down in, you know, Snodland, Pepperpot, Nottingham.
Absolutely.
You know, Leeds, you know, Exeter.
True.
You know, and this is where the money is made. It's not made just for a small community in London
or
small communities in Birmingham. You really need machinery to get you out there so you can sell units, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we didn't have.
Yeah,
you know, so
it's a shame though. So it's a long time coming. I mean, like, you know, we have VP and Greensleeves are pushing, you know, the reggae music internationally, and you know, it's about time that there should be one for the UK.
There was Jetstar Records,
of course. How can I forget Mr. Palmer?
How can we forget?
Big up, sir. I didn't mean to forget you. Did his thing from 19 all along as well. Yes, Jetstar, indeed.
Yeah, he contributed his part to the music industry, but it still wasn't enough. I think, you know, we need a little bit more of an intense marketing directive.
The promotion,
if you like,
and the marketing.
Yeah,
needs to,
you know,
be
real emphasis.
Can't be just down to one man still.
Absolutely. You know, we needed more emphasis, more oomph behind the campaign for any one of the artists, you know, ranging from DVDs, videos, to, you know, album launches, everything. The whole concentrated package needed to be there.
I think Juju's got a question for you.
Okay, we've kind of gone back and we've brought it up to now. And let's look forward. Easter Saturday, 11th of April, 2009, an audience with Lovers Rock. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I'm going to be in good company with Barry Boom, Dennis Bovell, Janet Kay, and I believe Sylvia Teller.
Wow.
You know, there's going to be one and two of my colleagues there. And it's going to be evening with us guys, you know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure what to expect, but if it's in terms of what we know an evening with, you know, it'll be a lot of Q&A, music, fun, laughter and everything else. So it should be a great evening, you
that
know what I mean?
Should be nice, yeah.
It should be really great. And like I say, you know, there's going to be a few exponents from the UK reggae scene, and it's going to be really interesting. You know, I'd say to everybody, ask all of them about their personal business, anything you like, and they'll be happy to answer. You know, apart from me.
All right,
That's the thing I find about, I don't know about you, Keith, but I find that with Lovers Rock, there is this kind of intimate kind of side to it where you feel close to the artists.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You felt the songs, you know the lyrics, you sing out with all your heart, and when they kind of perform, anytime I've seen Lovers Rock perform up front, it's personal.
It is.
So an audience with Lovers Rock kind of just makes sense to me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And especially you got people like Peter Honeygill doing it, you know, the girls, them sugar, you're in. You're gone. You're in.
Exactly.
As a man, you know, I'm just, you know, look upon it as a music thing.
A music thing, you know.
Yeah, truly.
He's pulling back. All right, I want to make it clear to the audience, though. We've bigged this up, we've pushed this, but now we need to tell you where it is. You might need to travel a little if you're down in London, but we know that our digital DAB signal does reach Luton. So there should be some people up them ends that are hearing this interview right about now, and we'll know this place, I'm sure. Grove Park, Court Drive, Dunstable, Bedfordshire. Yeah. So that's Grove Park, Court Drive, Dunstable, Bedfordshire. It's at the Grove Theatre, and it's on Easter Saturday, the 11th of April, 2009.
Lovely.
Excellent stuff.
Well, Peter, anything that we can expect music-wise in the near future? Is there an album? I know you've done something for Peckins there.
That's right. We've got a Studio One album called Free Soul that should be up sometime this year, we hope.
Oh, what, another one?
No, this is the same one. With Peckins, because it came out as a novelty album first, 8 tracks, you know, on Coxon's very own Studio One's label. We're going for a proper release now, which will be out on CD, and it's got 13 tracks as opposed to the novelty album, which only had 8.
Okay.
So, it's got 13, and it should be up this year, you know.
Sometime soon.
Yeah, sometime soon. We do all the overdubs and stuff.
All right.
And there's another LP we've got sort of coming out called Reggaeville.
Reggaeville.
Yeah, which hopefully...
Good name.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
It's like a place, you know?
Yeah.
So that should be up sometime this year.
All right. We'll look forward to that. And no doubt, Colourful Radio will have some upfront copies.
Oh,
for me, reggae
definitely.
Show Wednesday. Let me do a reggae show Wednesday.
Yeah, man. I'll be there.
Okay, that's fantastic.
All right.
So, Peter Huningale, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Yeah, excellent.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you very much for having me.
God bless.
This is Colourful Radio.